G'day, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I know you had a great weekend. We did too. And catching up with Graham Connors down there, that is a beautiful facility, isn't it, for a regional centre, that beautiful performing arts centre there.
Look, it's absolutely fabulous. And, of course, I think the region has waited some time, as probably a bit before your time when you arrived in Port Douglas, Paul, but you may have caught up with, there was a fair bit of controversy in terms of how best to have a new regional performing arts facility. But now we've got one, and I know that people from around the region will be able to enjoy all sorts of performances and entertainment for many years to come.
Absolutely. And not only, I mean, Graham Connors' audience were very much baby boomers. That was sort of the crowd, like ourselves, baby boomers. But I noticed when we came out, there was a lot of young people there who had come along to have a drink there, obviously gone out for the night and just came back for a drink. And there's quite a number of them there, beautifully dressed young people. So not only does it attract, you know, the baby boomers for a show like Graham Connors, but it also attracts that younger crowd too, who just like the feel of the place.
Yes, and that's why it's a great entertainment facility, and also, you know, as you say, a great place to have a bit of food or drink or after the night. Because one of the things that I think Cairns has lacked in recent years, very much in comparison to what it was like in the 80s in particular, was that we had so many venues. There were bands playing in probably up to 15 venues in Cairns at the time, including on House on the Hill. And so there was a really great, vibrant nightlife. And I think that's what we're trying to get back, certainly across the region and in Cairns.
Well, I'll talk to you about that in a moment with your round table that you went down to. But first up, of course, Julia, the weather had an impact once again on our region, with the ferry out of action and flooded roads, even school buses affected. But once again, we've responded very, very quickly. Now, the ferry had that severe vibration due to the extreme river current, damaged the drive wheel and guide pulley components, so they were up against it there. But the team there, I can't get over. They're out in the rain working, and they got it going as quickly as they could get it going.
Look, you're absolutely right. Chris and Charmaine Norris, our ferry contractors and operators, they really do an amazing job. But they know their ferry. They know the river. They've been here, their family, for generations. And so they're really clever in terms of how to find solutions to these sort of problems. And in this case, they did. I know they were up at daylight, and they worked really hard so that the ferry could get back in action as quickly as possible.
No, just fantastic. And Julia, it seems strange to ask this and ask this of everybody in the Shire of Douglas, to watch the use of their water while it buckets down. But there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Look, it is, and for many people, unless they know the reason, it's quite strange. Look, all our water intakes are very much affected when we have bad weather. And so what happens is heavy rain causes the high volumes of water that are, you know, absolutely zooming down our waterways and into our intakes, of course. They contain silt, sand and vegetation, and this blocks the intake and it stops the full flow of water to the treatment plant. It causes high turbidity levels, and what this does, it just slows down the water treatment process that's required, that we have to make sure that it's clean and safe water. And essentially what happens is the water can't be added to the reservoirs if it's not clean and safe. And so when that occurs, we've got fantastic monitoring. We can see exactly what's happening. And so at those times, we do ask people to conserve their water, and so that then, and we can see when the water supply levels are dropping, of course. And what we're really pleased about, people responded very well, and we were able to restore the reservoirs quickly.
Because we run a community message on the station that talks about conserving water, and when it was bucketing down recently, I mean, it was just teeming down. We had this thing running on Fab FM, and I was up in McRosson Street, and a guy pulled me aside. He said, Paul, why are you running that, mate? Look, have a look at the water coming down. And I had to explain a little bit about what you've just said then, about all that muck and the silt and all that. So, look, it doesn't matter whether it's raining or it's dry. We need to conserve water in this part of the world. So I applaud you for that. Now, Julie, you're a team of coastal scientists, engineers and economists have become the first in Queensland to finish a 10-year scientific strategy that'll give the Douglas Shire the tools to manage and mitigate the impacts of coastal hazards. This is a good one.
Look, it is, and it's a great planning strategy for the future. Douglas Shire Council, we identified that this was a wonderful opportunity when the state government announced this type of funding, and so we were one of the first, I think, to apply for it, and we've certainly been the first to actually complete our strategy. It's still underway though. We have still got it out for further consultation, and that closes on the 21st of April. As part of this whole process, we've had quite a lot of community workshops. They were held in May and October of last year at multiple venues, including Mossman, Cape Tribulation and Port Douglas. We've also had community surveys and online knowledge sharing. There's a dedicated website, for example. But what we've been able to, I suppose, take advantage of is these experts which have helped us to develop this strategy. And one of them is Daniel Rogers, who's a coastal engineer. And the other one is Elise in particular. I'm just trying to find her surname. I've just forgotten it for the moment. And that's a doctor. Yeah, Dr. Eliza Zavaldi. And so together they've been working with our staff, and particularly Nicola Lehrman, who's been the project manager for this strategy. So there's been steering committees established. There's been lots of workshops with councillors, workshops with the community. But what is really interesting, and I'd really encourage people to go to our website and have a good look at what there is available. And certainly if you want to make any further comments, do so.
All right. Just note a couple of things. What are, you know, for the uninitiated, what are our coastal hazards? What are the problems?
Well, some of the things, of course, is when we have this type of weather, I think everyone is really aware of the impact of erosion and the storm tides. And what this means, that there's predictions about perhaps what the coast will look like in the next 100 years. And so the strategy actually identifies and looks at all our townships, and you can see all sorts of maps, and certain areas that are probably going to be more prone to tidal inundation, sea level rise, and also there's a lot of information about what we can do to plan for that in the future.
Absolutely.
And there's all sorts of, you know, soft and hard engineering solutions, for example. I mean, a lot of these decisions will be really for future councils, but as I said, it was a great opportunity to take advantage of this significant state funding, and we're really proud to be the first council to actually do this.
Terrific. Douglas Shire Mayor Julie Alloy is my guest this morning, as she is every single Monday at 8 a.m. Julie, it's been a long time coming. The Salvation Army now is on track to start construction on the Mossman Aged Care Centre once the wet season is over.
Look, yes, absolutely right. It's certainly been a long time coming, as you've just said, and particularly for our Mossman District Nursing Home Committee and its President Marge Norris. I've also been involved right from the beginning when I was an officer with council. I did the first needs assessment study that actually identified that there was certainly a need for a high-end sort of nursing home in Mossman. And so now we're at a stage where we had a great meeting with Richard de Huss. He's the Salvation Army Aged Care National Director. And so we invited him up to Mossman because we really wanted to have a full and frank discussion about where we're up to with this project. And so we had a meeting between councillors Richard de Huss and the committee. And so we're really thrilled that he was able to confirm that it is on track, that they're currently tendering out the project to a range of parties. They're expecting responses by early April and to finalise by the end of that month or the latest in May. And so he's made it really clear that this will be happening because we really want to make sure that this project actually continues, because not only obviously for the community that it most affects, but also council for quite some time. We've invested a lot in assisting the committee in realising this project. We got more than $500,000 in state funds for the enabling infrastructure. It's already there. We've waived infrastructure fees of $250,000. We're donating the land, but we're not. The agreement is in place, but we won't be finalising any transfer of ownership until we know that the project is well underway and that we will secure that for the community into the future.
Excellent news. Now, Julia, Douglas Shire North is hoping to get better phone reception with the announcement of 6 new base stations. You would certainly welcome this one.
Look, yes, I think we all know that internet connection, certainly telephone as well, is just absolutely critical. And you know that even more when you have a disaster. It's so important to be able to contact people and for them to be able to contact other people when they're stranded or their roads are cut, or there might even be some more, very unfortunate safety issues that they're facing. And so I think in the far north, and particularly in the Shire, we do have areas where Telstra is very either unreliable or certainly mobile services are non-existent. So it's been good to see the rollout of additional services that were just recently announced, and I'm sure that the people along the Bloomfield River will really appreciate it.
Now, plans to transform the Mossman Pool and Caravan Park into a multi-purpose sporting precinct seems to be very popular with the community.
Yes, look, as you're probably aware, we've conducted a sort of community engagement process as a result of some draft plans.
Yep.
And so we've had meetings about that too, and we've had a number of submissions. And there has been an overwhelming support for the project, which I'm not surprised about, because certainly the pool and that whole area is long overdue. It was initially a bicentennial project, which, of course, that occurred in 1988. So it's been there for a long time. And whilst there have been some improvements, it's really due for a major overhaul. And that's really what this project is about. But the first step has been to get some sort of draft plans and then actually consult with the community. And so we're at the stage where we'll be looking at that engagement and then reassessing what we're doing, amending plans, going back out to the community. It's a long-term project and it will certainly require some significant state and federal funding.
Julia Loy, last week's tourism roundtable in Cairns, came up with some urgency from all stakeholders to collaborate. Our region and our industry are underperforming, and this was clearly identified, as I understand. Now, you did get down to that roundtable, and what were your thoughts and on the outcome of that?
Look, yeah, I was invited by the Minister, Kate Jones, which I certainly appreciated. Obviously, Bob Manning, the Mayor, was there as well. Other than us sort of involved or representing local government, there was probably 20 key leaders in tourism across the region. And it was a really positive meeting in terms of the way Kate conducts a meeting is really interesting to watch. She certainly is a good listener. Everyone had an opportunity to say their piece. But she was able to sum it up in the end, which I think everyone agreed to, in terms of 3 priorities. And that would actually assist. And there's short-term and long-term viewpoints, of course. But in terms of at the moment, they're very pleased to have their convention centre expansion. We actually had the meeting in the convention centre. And so that's another project that's been a long time coming. And once that's completed, that expansion, of course, they'll be able to take greater numbers for conventions. And that morning, Kate had actually just welcomed a huge Amway convention, and it was thousands and thousands of Amway representatives from China. And so certainly the big projects that they're working on at the moment, the convention centre expansion, the dredging works, and the Global Tourism Hub. I mean, they're the sort of big picture state government projects that they see are going to augur very well for tourism into the future. But essentially, I suppose, in terms of the short-term priorities at the moment, there's going to be a working party to investigate some recent Tourism Australia visitor research and marketing. And there's going to be a second priority in relation to that, which she's going to lead herself lobbying the airlines for cheaper domestic fares to Cairns, because I think, as we all know, domestically flying in and out of Cairns has become very expensive, and also it's increasingly hard to get a seat.
Yeah.
And so that's certainly affecting Cairns and certainly Douglas as well, of course.
Yeah.
And a third key thing is how to actually raise more funds for tropical North Queensland, tourism tropical North Queensland. And so they're going to be working on that. I mean, even I thought the Cairns Post reported very well on it. They were actually at the round table themselves, and so there was some good reporting the day after that round table. And it was very accurate from what I could see. But certainly they also, everyone acknowledges there's no real silver bullet. But basically what it will take is if the region works together. And that's really, I suppose, what we've all got to do. If we start pulling apart, that's not going to be very good for our future.
Well, some of the figures that came out of that Cairns market share since 2006, 2007, market share of international visitors to Australia has fallen from 17.29% to 10.28%, and international visitors holidaying in Australia down, standard accommodation is down, luxury accommodation is down. So, look, I agree with you. I think it has to be a concentrated effort by everybody to improve these figures if we're going to go forward.
Yes, no, we do. And look, we know that recent weather events hasn't helped, but some of these trends have been there prior to that. Traditionally, and there was a lot of talk about, look, traditionally February is very, very poor, particularly for Douglas too. And I think that came out when we had the Chamber of Commerce breakfast as well.
Yep.
However, we want to get back to where we were. In fact, we want to be better than where we were, because we know we've got a great region. We know that when people come here, they really love it. We also know that in Douglas, it's about getting them here in the first place. And if they can't get on a plane or it's too expensive, that certainly has to be sorted, I think, as a major priority.
Absolutely. And we know we've got a wonderful product up here. And one of the things, of course, is, and I don't know how we work on this or get it to down south, this information, but so many people, when they have, bad weather or a cyclone up in the Gulf of Carpentaria, for some reason people down south think, oh, they ring me up, people from Adelaide, and just say, how are you going with that cyclone up there? And I say, well, it's not up here. Or the flooding that happened in Townsville, people go, well, I'm going to have to cancel my accommodation in Port Douglas because, you know, of the flooding. And you go, well, hang on a second, that's down there, we're up here. So we've got to get that message across that some of these things that are happening in the north of Australia are not necessarily in our region, in the Douglas Shire.
No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, I get the same sort of phone calls. In fact, only 10 minutes before the roundtable started last Tuesday, I had a phone call from a radio station in Brisbane. As soon as they hear about bad weather, they trawl around trying to find someone to make a comment. And, of course, they often do ring me. And it's a fantastic opportunity for me, because I tell them that the wet weather is not affecting anyone's ability to enjoy the Douglas Shire. In fact, it is fantastic in the wet season.
It is.
And I say, you know, book a ticket now, because, yes, there's a bit of bad weather, but this weather you're thinking about is thousands of kilometres away from us, and it has not affected us.
That's right. That's right. Julia, thank you. Have a wonderful Monday. It's a beautiful day today. I can feel positive vibes in the air. You've got a council meeting tomorrow, have you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we've got a council meeting. That's correct.
All right.
And I was just about to say, it's actually sunny here. No, don't you? It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Julia. You have a wonderful day.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.